Father, we thank you for another day. Father, as we come to your word, we ask, Father, that you would help us to hear and to listen and to obey what you have to say to us today. Father, please, we ask that you would enable us by the power of your Spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Depending on how connected we are with the news, whether it's through media outlets or social media, it seems like the world has gone a little bit out of control. COVID's still going around the world, and no nation seems to have it under control, really. And we're still trying to understand the differing strains and their impacts on differing people. And yet you might be thinking, what is going on in the world? Then there have been political upheavals in our world. Afghanistan is the one that comes to my mind. I have the image of those local Afghans who are desperate to flee Taliban oppression. They are so desperate that they are running with that military plane about to take off. Some are holding on to the plane on the outside as the plane is taking off, and those who kind of still hang on actually don't make it. The coalition of nations pull out their nationals, and some of the Afghani counterparts, while leaving others behind at the mercy of Taliban oppression. And yet you might be thinking, what is going on in the world? When the world seems to spiral out of control, what do we do? How do we act? Is there anything we can do to gain some semblance of control in this world, let alone our little world? We've seen protests like Black Lives Matter, or the protests against the COVID restrictions, which I think are our attempts not only to be heard, but also to have some semblance of control over life. What is going on in the world? Now, if we're honest, we have a very limited amount of control in this world. We might have some control over certain aspects of our lives, but again, it assumes that everything is going absolutely well for us. Because the reality of it all is that sin, our rebellion against God, messes everything up in this world. And in our rebellion, because we rebel against God, we don't get him right. We do not get God right. In fact, we ignore him. We do whatever we like, whenever we like, and we just simply don't care. And because we don't get God right, we don't get people right. And because we don't get God right, we don't get how to work this creation well. And there's a sense of disharmony. There's a sense of disharmony between God, humanity, and creation. It's all out of sync. And things break very, very easily. Things like our physical health, our mental health, they can break. Our relationships with others, that can break too. Things that we work so hard for, that we put all our blood, sweat and tears into, well, that can go up in smoke, both figuratively and literally, overnight. All these things, they bring stresses and strains on us. And sometimes we can throw our hands up in the air and think, is God doing anything in this world? Where is God in all of this? Is he even listening? And yet throughout the Bible and in our everyday lives, God is still at work and he is still active in this world. Today we look at Psalm 18. So it would be really handy if you could have Psalm 18 open with me. It's a poem, or a Psalm of David. And David, just to kind of make sure everyone's on the same page, was the greatest king to have ever lived in the history of Israel in the Old Testament. And before he became king over Israel, he was hunted down by his predecessor Saul. And so in Psalm 18, we find David rescued from the clutches of Saul and his enemies. We get a glimpse of David's world as the Lord works in his life. So what is going on in David's world? Well, in Psalm 18, we see that God overcomes. He's able to overcome any enemy, which includes sin and death. So you can kind of see this in the first 24 verses of Psalm 18. Now, we're not going to go through them verse by verse, but I'll just give you a cheat notes version of Psalm 18. This psalm was written when David had been rescued from all of his enemies by God. And so what does David do in response? Well, he sings. He sings. He makes this great psalm about God in response to the acts of God in his life. And so what does David sing about? Well, he sings about how God sustains and makes him strong in verses 1 to 3. In verses 4 to 6, David describes his situation and the peril that he was in. Then in a masterstroke, I think, from verses 7 to 15, we get glimpses of how powerful God is with the use of creation imagery. And in case it isn't clear, what these verses are showing so far is that there is no one else like God in all of creation. There is no one else like the Lord in all the earth. And yet, it is this Lord God, in charge of the entire universe, who rescues David from his enemies, which David marvels in from verses 16 to 19. What seemed like a pretty awful and terrifying situation for David, the Lord dragged him out of. For the Lord looks after those who follow him. He looks after those who follow him. The Lord loves those who follow him and his ways. The Lord isn't fickle. The Lord is not fickle. The Lord does not abandon those who love him. The Lord looks after his people, even though he's so powerful. See, David, he saw just how big and powerful and majestic the God of the universe is, and his ability to save people in this world. And David witnessed this. He witnessed this in his own life. And God acted in David's life with ease. He did it flawlessly. And no enemy is too big for the Lord. But the biggest enemy of them all is death. It's a consequence of our rebellion against God. Death is a powerful enemy. It has a 100% success rate in all things in this world. Marketers Jesus loves marketers, but I'm just going to say this. Marketers try and leverage that to their advantage by saying that they have the secrets to anti-aging and to living longer. But death is the great disruptor of the world, of this world. It not only ends life for every single one of us, it ends relationships. But death is no match for the Lord. Remember the story of Lazarus in John's Gospel? The people of the town of Bethany in the first century had buried Lazarus. He was in the tomb for 4 days, right? Stinky, stinky, rotten, decaying. And yet in a seemingly impossible fashion, Jesus commands Lazarus to rise and come out of that tomb. Jesus, the Lord, overcame death at that moment. in the sense that there was nothing outside of his reach and power. There was nothing that Jesus was not lord over. Even with his rising for life from a public execution on the cross, there was nothing that could hold him down. The religious hierarchy at the time, well, they certainly couldn't hold him down. The Romans, they couldn't hold him down. Death, they couldn't hold him down. The Lord is so powerful that he's able to overcome any enemy. The Lord is the Lord over all things in this world. And those who act against God and his people ultimately act in futility. There will be times, and there possibly are times right now, when we are tempted to think that there's this one issue that is that the Lord just cannot overcome. There's just something in our lives that the Lord just can't overcome. It's just too strong. I mean, some of us, we face trying situations in our lives. Maybe we're facing hostility because we follow Jesus. And hostility may be active or maybe passive-aggressive. Either way, the Lord can overcome because there is nothing outside the reach of the Lord. And so it's a plea. Today, it's a plea to keep turning to the Lord. No matter the situation, turn to the Lord. No matter how dire life is, turn to the Lord. No matter how out of control life seemingly is spiraling into, turn to the Lord. The Lord is powerful. And he's able to act in this world, including in your life and in my life. He acted in David's life, and he continues to act to this very day. Not only is the Lord powerful and able to overcome, but God is also mercifully saving people, even from sin and death. And we see this in David's world from verses 25 to 30 in your Bibles. And notice what these verses reveal about the character of God. In verses 25 to 26, there is a sense in which God shows himself to people according to who he is. So he is faithful, he is blameless, he is pure. And notice in the second half of verse 26, it uses the word shrewd. I think the second half of verse 26, I think the whole point is that God cannot be conned because he just sees through all the lies. He sees through all the rubbish, right? He sees through all the deceit. You cannot con the Lord. He just sees right through it. Verse 27 shows that God saves. He saves according to who he is as a merciful God. See, David knows who God is. He knows who he is. And from verses 28 to 30, David is sustained by God. To keep my lamp burning, that is means that God continues to sustain the life of David. Because that's what it means symbolically and metaphorically. Because David attributes everything in his life to the Lord. According to David, from these verses at least, it is the Lord who sustains David. It is the Lord who gives strength to face his enemies. Because God is the great sustainer and he is the great protector. He is the great fortress for people who turn to him. And God does all of this because of his mercy. He does it all because of his mercy. It is part of who he is as God. Mercy is when someone shows compassion or kindness to someone else. And throughout the Bible, God does indeed show mercy, especially to Israel, who certainly don't deserve it. in the New Testament, the ultimate act of mercy is shown through Jesus himself. For it is in Jesus where we see the mercy of God for us today. God's mercy to us is given by Jesus. It's in Jesus that we can take refuge. And it's in Jesus to whom we can turn to. Because in Jesus we are strong. In Jesus we are strong. So, seek refuge in God when things go crazy. When things just don't work out. Seek refuge in God by trusting in Jesus. We need to stop thinking that other solutions will help our problems. Right? Like right schooling for the kids, the right job, the right place to live, all that stuff. No. Turn to God by continually turning to Jesus and continually following him. For God is merciful and he will help you in your time of need. So when life gets tough, don't hunker down. When life gets tough, don't hide that pain and the anguish that you may be feeling. When life gets tough, we don't just throw money at it hoping that it'll get better. When life gets tough, we don't just hide behind our pride. When life gets tough, we don't just hide behind our honour. We turn to the one who gives and sustains life. So far, we have seen God who is powerful enough to overcome, and we have seen God who is merciful. But God is also the one who rules, especially over sin and death, because he just happens to be God of the universe. And you find it scattered throughout verses 31 to 50. So in verses 31 to 32, David boldly declares that the Lord, the one who said, "I am who I am," to Moses in the form of a burning bush, is God. It is this God who supports, upholds, and equips David for military battles in verses 33 to 45. David's enemies were God's enemies. Hence the language of destruction on David's enemies, including Saul himself. Then we get to verses 46 to 50, which highlight who God is. God is not dead. God is not inactive. God is not impotent in any way. God is living in verse 46. God is the one who has given strength and salvation to David, and no other God was able to do this. But the Lord God was able and is able. God is the one who provided David with the victories, and no other God did or was able to do. God was the one who rescued David and made him greater than his enemies in verse 48. And it is these acts that God has done on David's behalf that David will praise the Lord for. Because from David's experience, there is none that compares to the Lord. For David has seen the Lord at intimate work in his life. I mean, when you are hunted down by one of the most powerful men in the Near East who is coming after you and wants your head on a platter, and the Lord beats the odds on your behalf, I'm pretty sure you would be in the same position as David and you would be thankful for that. The Lord is God who rules over everything, including sin and death. The Lord rules over the sin of the nations that rage against him and his king, and here it's David. The Lord is still king when the nations, even when other nations and people do their best to topple God. So when the struggles of life come, We need help from God the most. We need help from the ruler of this world. We need his help to overcome awful, unspeakable situations that arise from this broken and cruel world. And let me just say, when we reach out to God, he acts on his time and not our time. And let me just tell you from experience, that can be infuriating. That can be absolutely infuriating. Earlier I asked if God was doing anything in this world. God is active in this world. God continues to work in this world, sometimes right before our very eyes, sometimes behind the scenes through other people. And God is able to overcome. God delivers us from whatever situation we face. COVID? It's got nothing on the Lord. It's got nothing. Political upheaval? Got nothing on the Lord. It's got absolutely nothing. Being on the right side of history or the wrong side of history, again, it's got nothing on the Lord. They've got nothing. God overcomes all things. And so we need to remember that God continues to work in this world by showing his mercy to you and I. And God shows his mercy to you through Jesus. It is through Jesus and following him that we can have God's mercy to us. So, will you take hold of God's mercy to you? I'm going to close by praying, and I'm assuming there'll be a question time soon as well. So let me close by prayer. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is not distant. Father, we thank you that you are a God that is not impotent and inactive. We thank you that you are a God who cares for us. We thank you that you are a God who is active in this world. We thank you that you work in all things, seen and unseen. And Father, please may we cling on to your mercy for us through the Lord Jesus. Through political upheaval, through pandemics, through personal tragedy and personal suffering, may we always turn to you. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.